Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nazir Daf Samach Dalid. We left off on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, four lines from the end of the page on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lezecha Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Lea Shalom, Nisham Shav Naliyah. We thank Dr. Lander for continuing to sponsor each and every day of our Daf Yomi Shir. So what we're going to discuss today is we're going to continue to discuss Dinim of Tum and Tahara, but particularly we're going to touch upon a new halacha today, and we're going to spend all of Amud Aleph on this halacha, and that is the halacha called Tuma Tzafa, that even though we generally have a din of Savik Tuma Rishos HaYachid is Tamei, but if the Savik Tuma that was in Rishos HaYachid is a floating tuma, then it is tahar. So there's such a special din called tuma tzafa. So the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether the kula of tuma tzafa applies even if it's floating, not directly on the water, but in a kli that has water in it. So it's floating on water, but it's in a kli. And then the Gemara is going to have a couple of exceptions to the kula of tuma tzafa. And then the Gemara is going to raise a series of seven sveikos about the gedarim of tuma tzafa. What's considered to be inside of a kli? What if it's floating on top of something else that's not a kli? What if that item that it's floating upon is just as tamei as it, or is less tamei than it? All sorts of different sveikos about tuma tzafa, and all seven of those sveikos at the end of the daf, the last word on the amud is going to be teku. And then on amud beis, the Gemara is going to go back to the discussion of Tumas HaTahom, and the Gemara is going to revisit the klal that the Mishnah gave us, where the Mishnah said, yes, there is such a din, such a halacha on Moshe Misinai, called Tumas HaTahom, that Tumas HaTahom is not going to be soser, a person's nazirus, but that's only if the person was becheskas tahara. If a person was becheskas tuma, then tuma satahom does not work. Then there is no special kula of tuma satahom. So the Gemara is going to discuss what is the geder of cheskas tahara versus cheskas tuma. How far along in the tahara process does a person have to be till we say he is now becheskas tahara and not becheskas tuma? So that conversation should take us all the way to the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Dalet Amud Beis. So let's begin at the two dots on Samach Dalet Amud Beis. So just to remind ourselves of some basic yesodos, the Gemara Maseches Sota tells us that the dinim of Safek Tuma are derived from Sota, where the Torah tells us that a Safek Tuma is like a Vadai with regard to Sota, and therefore she becomes a Surah Labaila Misafek until she drinks the Mei Sota. So since the Stira that the Sota does, the Yichud that she does, is not in a Rosh Hashanah, it's only in a Rosh Hashanah. So too, any time you have a Safek Tuma that arises in the context of Rosh Hashanah, we say it's Tamei. So that's the Klal, Safek Tuma Rosh Hashanah is Tamei. That's Klal number one. Second point of Hakdama is that there is a Mishnah in the fourth Perek of Meseches Taharos, that even though Safek Tuma Rosh Hashanah is Tamei, but the Chacham were Metayer the Safek in a variety of circumstances, and one of those circumstances is Tuma Tzafa B'mayim, that if the Tuma is floating on water and it's not resting on the ground, then that's an exception to the rule of Safek Tuma Rosh Hashanah Tamei. In such a case, Safek Tuma Rosh Hashanah is going to be Tahar. So our sugya is going to discuss what the parameters of that are, of that rule of Tuma Tzafa. So the Mishnah had said that a Nazir had become Tamei with Tuma Satahom, a Tuma that was completely not known to anybody, and he only found out about it after he was Megaleach, so it's not Soser as Naziru. So the Mishnah had said, Ketzad, what is an example of Tuma Satahom? So he said, Yarad, he went down to be Tovel in a Ma'ara, and then he found a mace that was Tzaf al Pnei Amayim. That's not Tuma Satahom, because the mace was Goloi, everyone saw it was floating on the water, it wasn't hidden anywhere. So now the Gemara explains that even though that if he finds a mace Tzaf al Mayim, he's considered to be Tahar Misafek, because any din Safek he's considered Tamei Misafek, like the din of Safek Tumber Shosiach is Tamei, but if he were to find a Sheretz al Pnei Amayim, he would not be Tamei, because that would have the status of Tumat Safa, meaning this Kula of Tumat Safa, it's clear from our Mishnah, doesn't apply to a mace that's floating on the water. So Tzafa Eina Metama Le'inyan Sheretz, when there's a Safek, whether a person person touched tumah or not, and that tumah was floating on the water, the person is not tamei b'safek. But when it's in Rosh Hashanah, but that din is only when it comes to tumah sheretz. When it comes to tumas oel ames, the regular din is going to apply that if it's a safek tumah Rosh Hashanah is tar, safek tumah Rosh Hashanah is tamei. And therefore, you see in the Mishnah that in a case where there's a safek whether the nazir had become tamei with the tumas mace that was safal b'nei amayim, we say sveiko tamei in our Mishnah because the kula of tumat safa does not apply to tumas sheretz. Now there is a machlokas yishon what that means, that it doesn't apply to tumas sheretz, but it does apply to meis tzaf al pnei amayim. Does that mean this din that safik tumat safa is tar even Rosh Hashanah is only legabi tumas sheretz and not legabi tumas meis at all? That even if a person is mesubak whether he touched a meis, we will not apply the din of tumat safa? Or do we say that it means that the din of tumat safa is by sheretz like tumah that's similar to sheretz, meaning tumas maga, that just like sheretz transmits tumah with maga, any time your suffix tumat safa was a tumas maga, so then we're going to be makel because of the kula of tumat safa, but not with regard to tumas ohel, which is sheretz doesn't have the capacity to be metame with ohel. So Tosfos in Samach Dalet Amud Aleph in Dibur Maskel VaMayil says that if a kezayis min ames is tzaf al pnei amayim and there's a suffix whether you touched it or not, it's tahar. The din of tumat safa applies even in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. However, if you're not sure if you were ma'ahil on the mace, then you're tameh even though it's floating. So the Tosos clearly understands that the din of tumat safa is not limited to sheretz, it's limited to tumas maga, but tumas awel it doesn't apply to, but it will apply even to mace bimaga. The Rambam in Hilchos Avos HaTumos Perek Yudalid disagrees, and he holds that the din of tumat safa is only legabe tumas sheretz, not legabe any kind of tumas mace, even maga of a mace. Now, there's a stira in the mefarish, what the mefarish holds, because on the one hand, in Dibra Maskot Safa, he says the tumas mace safa is metame besafek maga, and on the other hand, in the Gemara on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, he's going to have a girsa of mace bekli, and we'll see that according to that girsa, you have to say that the din of tumat safa is even when it comes to maga hamace. So it seems like a stira in the Mefarish. So you have basically two and a half opinions, right? You have Tosos, who holds that the din of Tumat Safa is not limited to a mace, it's limited to Maga, whereas the Rambam holds, it's not limited to Sheretz, it's limited to Maga, whereas the Rambam holds, it's limited to Sheretz, and when it doesn't apply at all when it comes to a mace. And then you have conflicting indications from the Mefarish. The Brisker Rav explaining the Shitas HaRambam, that the din of tumat safa, it doesn't apply to omeis at all. Even maga hameis is because he says the yisod of the din of tumat safa is that the tumah has no place to rest and it's miskalgelas from one place to the other. It's floating around, it's going from one place to the other. That geder is only shayich legabe tumas sheretz. But legabe tumas meis, where the din is that the tumah rutsutsa, bokas v'ola, bokas v'yoredas, the nature of tumas meis is that it goes all the way up and it goes all the way down, so you can't say that it's tzafa, because that expandability of the tumah to all the area beneath it and all the area above it means that wherever it's floating, it's kavua b'makoma, meaning it's considered halachically as if it has a makom, because it affects the entire makom around it, and therefore you don't have such a din of tumah tzafa when it comes to a mace, according to the Rambam. So anyway, d'tanya safik tumah tzafa, we have a braisa that tells us that if you have tumah that's floating on the water and there's a safek whether you touched it or not, bein bekelim, whether it's floating on mayim inside of a kli, bein bekarka, whether it's floating on mayim that's just in the karka, like an in-ground pool, tahora, then the person is tar if he's not sure if he touched it, because it's safek tumat safa is not mitame. That's the sheet of the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Shimon Omer, bekelim tameya bekarka tahora, that the din of tumat safa only applies to water that's in the karka, but water that's in kelim doesn't have the special din of above Tumat Safa. So if you have water that's in Kalim and the Tumah is floating on the water that's in a Kli, so that, and you're not sure if you touched it, we don't have the Kula of Tumat Safa. We revert back to the din of Safik Tum Rishus Yachid is Tame. So my time at the Tanakama, why does the Tanakama hold that even Tumat Safa b'mayim that's in a Kli, we would apply the din of Tumat Safa and it's Tahar? Some Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avadimi, because we find a stira in the Psukim, and the way to resolve the stira makes it pretty clear that the din of Tumat Safa is Bein Bekarka, Bein Bekli, that this Kula of Tumat Safa applies even in a Kli, because on the one hand, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, B'chol HaSharetz HaSharetz, I mean, the Pasuk says, Al Teshakses Nafshoseichem, B'chol HaSharetz HaSharetz. So it sounds like, Kol Makom Shu Shoretz, that wherever it's Shoretz, whether it's in the Karka, whether it's in the Mayim, Uksiv, but the Pasuk also says, when it comes to Tumat Sharetz, it says, Al Ha'aretz. It says, V'zelechem HaTamim B'sharetz HaSharetz, Al Ha'aretz. So it sounds like the Tumah of Sharetz is only when it's Al Ha'aretz, and not when it's Tzaf Al Pnei Amayim. So which is it? How can you have a two psukim, one that tells me that Tumat Tzafa applies wherever it may be, and the other that says only when it's Al Ha'aretz? Ha'ketzan. Vaday Mago'o Tame. Safek Mago'o Tahar. If you know that you touch the sharetz, then you're tamei, even if it's floating on water. So that's what the pasuk is saying: the bechol sharetz hasharetz, that wherever it may be, you're tamei. But if you're not sure whether you touch the sharetz or not, then it's only going to be safek tumbrishus yachat tamei if it's sharetz ala aretz. But whenever it's tzaf al pnei amayim, we're not going to apply the principle safek tumbrishus yachat tamei. We will instead apply the kula called tumat tzafa, which means that you will not be tamei. And it doesn't say anywhere in the Sukkim, that there's a chilik whether it's tzaf al hamayim bekli or tzaf al hamayim bekarka. So you see that there's no indication to distinguish between different types of floating tuma, whether different places that it might be floating, whether it's floating in the karka, whether it's floating in a kli. So you see clearly that the kula of tuma tzafa applies whether it's floating directly on water that's in the karka or whether it's floating on water that's sitting inside of a kli. But Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He holds that only sharetz hasharetz b'mayim that's al gabei karka svekotar. But if it's al gabei mayim that's inside of a kli, we're not going to apply the kula of tumat safa. So my taima, what's the basis for his opinion? Amar ula, because he has a different stira in the psukim. It says in one pasuk, siv ach mayan. The pasuk says, ach mayan ubar mikveh mayim yiyah tahar. Is that this week's parasha? Next week's parasha, I think. So it sounds like from the, well, I guess, so it sounds like from the not next week, it's going to be a few weeks, but it sounds like from the pasuk that Savik Tuma that Safa B'mayim is Tahora Uksiv, and it says in the Hemshech of the pasuk Yitma. So it sounds like wherever it may be, even Savik Tuma that Safa B'mayim is Tame. So Haketzad, how can we distinguish between two types of Tuma Safa? Ah, must be Safa B'keilim. If the Tuma is floating on water inside of a kli, Tame. Then we say it's Tameh, and that's what the Pasuk is talking about when it says that it's Metameh even B'tumat Safa. Whereas Bekarka, if the Tumah is floating on water that's directly in the Karka, then Tahar, then we're going to say that you have the Kula of Tumat Safa, and that's what the Pasuk was talking about when it said, when it's Metaher in a Mayan and a Bar, that they are Mayim that are Mechunas al Gabe Karka. So as long as it's Mayim that's directly on the Karka, and the Tumah is on the Mayim that's directly on the Karka, we apply the Din of Tumat Safa. Okay, now a couple of other exceptions to the Din of Tumat Safa. So one exception to the Din of Tumat Safa is a possible exception. It could be that if it's in water that's in a kli, machlokas tanayim, water that's in a kli, maybe there's no kula of tumat safa and you revert back to regular safik tumar shosiyach tameh. But now another exception. Tana Rabban, kalani talin vanigrarin sveikon tameh b'nei shein kumunachin. If a person takes a sheretz in his hand and he schleps it along the surface of the water, or he ties a string to it and he drags it along the surface of the water, and there's a safik whether the sheretz touched another person, we are not mitar that person misafek like any like the normal din of tumat safa, because since that sheretz is under the control of a person, it's either in the person's hand or it's connected to a string that's in the person's hand. We view that as if it's munach, not as if it is tsaf, because a person is controlling it the entire time. That is how Tosfos understands this line of the Gemara, and therefore, according to Tosfos, it doesn't really make a difference if you're gorel gabe karka or ba'avir or al pnei amayim, the point is that it's attached to a person, and therefore it has a din of being munach al gabe karka, even if where you're schlepping it is along the surface of the water. However, the Mefarish writes that the reason that nigrarin and nitalin are sveikan tamei is because whatever is nigrar or nital is kimunach dami. It's as if it is resting. So in the Sefer Be'er Moshe, he points out that l'chora, the Mefarish is arguing on Tosos, and he holds that it's only if it's nigrar or nital al gabe karka do we consider that it's munach al gabe karka. But if it's nigrar or nital ba'avir or al pnei amayim, so yeah, it's as if it's munach al pnei amayim, which is another way of saying it's as if it is Safa. So the whole din over here of Hanitalin Vanigrarin Sveikan Tame just means, according to the Mefarish, Nitalin Vanigrarin on Karka. But if you schlep it along the surface of the water, then it will still have the din of Tumat Safa. But that's not the Pashas. Pashas Luchar is like Tosos. That if it's Nital or Nigrar, even Al Pnei Amayim, it doesn't have a din of Tumat Safa. It would have the regular din of Safik Tum Rishos Yachid Tame. Vanizrakin Sveikan Tahar. If a person throws a sheret, and it's left his hand, then it's considered tumat safa. And if there's a suffix, whether a person touched it in that state while it was midair, then it's going to be tar. There's a machlokes rishonim whether the din of tumat safa is only when it's al pnei amayim or even when it's thrown in the air. Meaning, a safa, does safa just mean that it's not on solid ground and therefore it doesn't make a difference if it's on the surface of water or it's in the air, or is safa something that's specifically about being on water? The Mefarish and the Rosh understand that when the Bryce says nizrak, and it means in the air. So memeli, you have to say that the din of tumat safa applies in the air, because otherwise, what's the Bryce talking about? It says that nizrak in sveikan tar, that apparently you have a din of tumat safa when you threw something. So throwing it means in the air. So apparently, in the air, you have a din of tumat safa. However, Tosos and Samach Gimel and Beis in Dibra Maskot Safa has a suffik whether we're metayer a suffik tumat safa ba'avir, the same way we are b'mayim. So the Acharim ask, yeah, but what's Tosos going to do with our Bryce? Plus, there are many Mishnayos Mefarashos, Mesach Staros, that sounds like we're Metaher, that which is thrown in the air. So if it's not because of Tumat Safa, it's got to be because of something. Apparently, our Braisa and many Mishnayos are very clear that when there's a Safik Tuma on something that's in mid-air, we're going to say that it's Tahar. So if it's not Tumat Safa, what is it? So in the Tiferes Yisrael, in the Yachin Bo'ez Mishnayos, he explains that Tosas is not really Mesubuk whether something that's thrown in the air is Sveiko Tahar. It's for sure Tahar. Tosas is just Mesubuk whether what the yisod of the din is. Why is it tahar? Which din is operative that makes it tahar? Is it the din of tumat safa? Or maybe it's a different din called kolatumos kishas mitziyasan, that from there you learn that it's something that's tame, that's thrown in the air, and it's a suffix, whether it touched somebody on its path in the air, so it's tar, we're not going to be mitame misafik, because right now, after it rests, it's not touching a tame item, and therefore, we should be done it, that it never touched the person. So that's the shaila. The shaila is not whether it's tame or tahar when you have a suffix, whether it hit someone, whether it touched someone along its path in the air. The shaila that Tosos has is, why is it tahar? So that's how the Tiferes Yisrael understands Tosos. But the more poshut way of reading the Gemara is the way the Farish and the Rash do, that tzafa doesn't only mean al pnei amayim, tzafa means even al pnei avir, that also means, that's also tumas tzafa. So now the Braisa discusses which type of tumos are not subject to this special kula called tumat safa. Chutz min kazayis hameis v'amayil al pnei atuma. Meaning any tumas oel hameis, you don't have the kula of tumat safa. There is no special leniency that something tumat rishus yachid is going to be tahar when it's floating. It's just that the Braisa happens to pick two examples of tumas oel. One of them is kazayis min hameis, the tumas safa al pnei amayim, and the tahar person is not sure whether he was ma'ahil on it or not, and the second is the opposite case, that the tumah is kavua in the karka, and the Torah person is not sure whether he floated over it or not, whether he was ma'ahil on that tumah or not. But if it was tumah sheretz or magga, then we would say tumat safa, and it would be sveikan tahar, because the din of safik tumat safa lahakel is whether it's the tumah safa and the tahara is kavua b'ma'ahil. b'mekoma, or whether the tahara is tzafa and the tumas kavua b'mekoma. So what we're essentially saying right now, the chiddush of this line is not only what we already learned, that the kula of tumas tzafa doesn't apply to tumas meis, doesn't apply to tumas oel, but that there are two types of tumas tzafa. There are two types of the kula of tumas tzafa. There's where the tuma is floating, and then there's the tahar person is floating, and the tuma is kavua. Other types of tuma where we do not have the special kula of tumas tzafa, but called davrusha matami milamalik lamata lasu zava zava. There is a special types of tuma that are knowing by zav and zava that we don't have by any other types of tuma. For example, if a zav moves something with a stick, he takes a stick and he pushes something, so that's tumas hesed. That applies to a zav, even though the zav never touched it, he's only moving the item with a stick. If a tahar person takes a stick and moves a zav, he prods a zav and he moves the zav, so that also, even though he didn't touch the zav, he becomes tameh. And another type of unique tumah that you have by a zav is that anything that's resting on top of the zav or underneath the zav, and the zav is do reis on, the zav is trampling on, even if the zav is not touching it, is tameh. So those dinim of tumah, you don't have the special kula of tumah tzafa lahakel. So if a zav is floating on the water and there's a suffix whether he moved or was doreis on a davar tahar, that davar tahar is going to be tamei. That's suffix to Marisha Siyachid and is tamei. You don't have the special kula of tumat safa. Chaznish points out that l'chora, there's no such mitzius of a zav that's saf b'mayim and is also doreis on a kli, because if he's not leaning b'kol kocho on the kli, then there's no tumas medrash. Tumas medrash means that all of his weight is resting on the kli. So if he is resting on it, then he's not saf al pnei hamayim, meaning manav. So he's either floating on the water or he's got all of his weight on a kli. He can't be floating on the water and also have his weight on the kli. So if he's standing on the kli and he happens to be in the water, so then it's just tam on a kli. He's not saf. So the Chaznish writes, it could be that he's saf b'mayim, but he's leaning on a kli with his stick. You got to figure out how this works, right? He's floating, doing the backflip, but he's got a stick where he pushes down as hard as he can on top of a kli, and maybe that's called that he's doreis on the kli. Okay, you have to come up with some hechitimtza. So now the Gemara raises seven sfeikos about this kula of tumat safa. So suffik number one, bayram, and each suffik builds on the other. Bayram bar chama, what would be the din if mace b'kli, v'kli tzaf al pnei amayim? Let's say you have a mace in the kli, a kazayis min a mace in a kli, and the kli is floating on the water. So the suffik, and then you have a suffik whether a person touched that tumah or not. So mahu, do we have such a din of tumah tzafa? That's the girsa of the mefarish and the rush, that it's mace b'kli. That l'chora only works if you hold that the kula of tumat safa applies to maga hameis. The Rambam has to have a different girsa, because the Rambam holds that the whole din of tumat safa doesn't apply to a meis at all. It only applies to sheret. So the Rambam taka does have a different girsa. So it's sheretz b'kli. It's not meis b'kli. But the point is, when you're dealing with tumat safa, what if the tumah is not directly on water? Meaning, we discussed before, if it's on water, but in a kli. So that was a machlokas. But what if it's not on water at all? It's in a kli, and the kli is on water, but the tumah itself is not actually on water. So meis b'kli, or sheretz b'kli, kli tzaf al pnei amayim. So mahu, what's the din? On the one hand, basar kli azlinan, or basar maya azlinan. Do we say that we look at the tumah klape, the kli, that it's in, and therefore it's not safa, it's resting comfortably in the kli? Or do we say, no, look at the bigger picture, and the kli is floating on the water, and therefore he's considered to be floating on the tumah is considered to be floating on the water. Another safikim tim tzlomer basar kli azlinan. If you're going to tell me that's not tumat safa, because we look at the kli and we look at the relationship between the tumah and the kli, and it's just resting directly in the kli, meis al gabe sheretz mahu. What if a meis is on top of a sheretz that's floating on the water? So what would the din be then? Does that have a status of tumat safa? Why yes, why no? Kivin davoy tumas erev, since the sheretz is not metame beyond tumas erev. Someone touches the sheretz, he's only tame tumas erev. Vahai tumas shiva, but the kazayis min ames that's metame. Someone who touches it is tumas shiva. Kiman demachta tuma bekli damya. It's as if the mace is in the kli. That's it's really considered to be in a kli, and therefore would be sfekel tame. Odilma tumas samichti, or maybe since al kalpanim they're both metame, so both the mace and the kli that it's and the sheretz that it's resting on are both metame, even though they're different types of tuma. Maybe they should be considered one thing. And just like the sheretz that saf al panei amayim, so to the mace that's sitting on top of it does have the kula of tuma tzafa. If the sheretz has the status of tuma tzafa, the mace on the sheretz should have the status of tuma tzafa. That tzafa could work even if you hold that tuma tzafa doesn't apply to a mace at all, even within the shita sarambam. Because over here, what we're saying is that it should sort of like become batel to the sheretz. That whatever din the sheretz has, the mace should also have. And a sheretz certainly has a din of tuma tzafa. Then another suffix, a third suffix, vimtim salomar. If you're going to say in the previous suffix, when you have a kazayis min a mace that's resting on a sheretz that's floating in the water, kemand machta tuma bekli damya, that we view it as if it's sitting in a kli that's floating on the water, and therefore it doesn't have the kula of tuma tzafa, v'tamei vaday, and it's for sure tamei, there's still a makom to have a suffix in the following. Sheretz al gabe nevela u nevela tzafa mahu. What if a sheretz is floating on a nevela and the nevela is floating on the water? Would we apply the din of tuma tzafa? Given the travayu tumas aravinu and tumas samichtihi, so do we say that since both the sheretz and the nevela have the same level of tuma, that they're only mitami someone who touches it for the rest of that day, so memela they have a din of one thick, big tuma, and just like a nevela that's, that is tzaf al panei amayim, we view the sheretz as if it too is tzaf al panei amayim, and therefore it should be subject to the kula of tuma tzafa, odilma hai kazayis vai kadasha. Or maybe we say, no, nevela and sheretz are different types of tuma. They have the same strength to their tuma, but not the same shear to their tuma. They're not totally equal. The shear of nevela to be metame is a kazayis. The shear of a sheretz to be metame is only b'kadasha. So since they're not shiureim shavim, they don't have the same shear. Maybe they don't have the status of a single tuma, and we view the sheretz as not as if it's tzaf al panei amayim, but as if it's in a kli. The fact that it's sitting on a nevela, that nevela now has a din of a kli, and therefore we'd say sveko tame, we'd say savik tumer shesiachlis tame. A fourth savik, sheretz al gabe sheretz. What if you have one sheretz resting on another sheretz that's floating on the water? So mahu, what's the din? Do we view the upper sheretz, the sheretz that's resting on the other sheretz, as tumatzaf or not? Hani vadechad shir ninu. Do we say, well, okay, a sheretz and a sheretz are the same strength of tumat, the same shear of tumat, it's the same thing? Or maybe it's two bodies, it's two different entities. There's one sheretz and there's another sheretz. So the top sheretz is like it's resting on a kli, and therefore maybe we should not apply the kula of tumat safa. A fifth safek, vimtim tzolomer sheretz al gabe sheretz, kim de mafski me adodi, kiman de mancha bekli dami. If you're going to say that even a sheretz al gabe sheretz are considered two separate entities, and therefore the top sheretz is considered to be sitting in a kli, and therefore is not subject to the kula, doesn't get the special kula of tumat safa, sheretz al gabe nevela sheni mocha mahu. What if a sheretz is sitting on top of a nevela where it's liquefied? So is the dinner the sheretz to be munach on the nevela shenimocha like tumat safa or not? Kivin de nimocha avile mashka. Do we say, well, once it's liquefied, it's a mashka? So it's even though it's the sheretz is not directly on water because the nevela is mafsik between the sheretz and the water, and the tumas and nevela, and the tumah and the nevela and the tumah of the sheretz do not have the same status. They're different types of tumah, but still it's munach on the nevela that has liquefied and has turned to water. So maybe that should have a status of tumat safa. Odilma hay uchlahu, or maybe we say that since the water that it's on is really a food that has liquefied, it's not really a mashka, it's an ochel, and the din of a sheretz that's munach on something that is munach that it's munach on an ochel is like it's munach bekli, and therefore we should be machmir and we should not apply the din of tumat safa. A sixth safek, vimtim tzolomar, and if you're going to say in the previous safek about the sheretz that's on the liquefied nevela, the uchlahu, Hu, that we view the Nevela as Ochel, and therefore we do not apply the din of Tumat Safa, Sheretz al Gabe Shechva Zera Mahu. What if the Sheretz is on top of Shechva Zera that's floating in the water? Do we say that Shechva Zera, that's not an Ochel, that's a Mashke, that's a liquid, so Mela, it has the Sheretz that's on it, should have a din of Tumat Safa, just like it's directly on the water itself. Vim Tim Tzalomar, and if you're going to say about the Sheretz on the Shechva Zera, Kivid de Mesakra, Havilei Uchla, that once the Shechva Zera leaves the human body, it's no longer considered like a mashke, it's now considered like an ochel, meaning it's not a mashke is bodily fluids while they're in the body, but once it's nekar minaguf, it's not considered a bodily fluid anymore, it's considered a separate entity as if it were a solid, and the sheretz that's resting on it is not tumatzafa. Sheretz al gabe mechatas umechatas tzafan al pnei amayim al gabe amayim mahu. What if the sheretz were on the mixture of mechatas and the afar of the afer of the para aduma, and that mechatas was floating on the water? Do we say that since the mechatas is mixed with afer, so it's a little thicker than regular water, it does not have a din of a mashka, it's a din of a nochel, and the sheretz that's on it is therefore not tumatzafa, it's resting on the equivalent of a kli? Or do we say no, it's resting on water and therefore it's tumatzafa? Yeah, the water is mixed with afer para aduma, so the water is a little thicker than regular water, but it's water, and therefore it does have a status of tumat safa. So Gemara says, lo yadinan teku. We don't know the answer to any of these questions, and therefore teku. So how do we paskel? So the Rambam, in Avos HaTumos Perek Yudalit, Halacha Dalit takes all of these sfeikos and paskins them l'chumra, that they don't have a din of tzafa al pnei amayim, they have a din of munach, meaning the kula would be to say that they have a din of tzafa, because tzafa is a kula. Tzafa means that that you don't apply the din of tzafa to Rosh HaSiyachit Tameh, you instead say tzafa to Rosh HaSiyachit is going to be tahar. So the Rambam says we don't say tumat tzafa, we say that it's as if it's munach, and therefore we revert back to tzafa to Rosh HaSiyachit is Tameh. Why? Because the Rambam always paskins like an imtim tzolomar. That's always the derech of the Rambam. That if the Gemara says, is it A or is it B? And if it's B, is it C or is it D? He always paskins like B. Because the fact that the Gemara further explores within one tzad, so that's always an indication that we paskin like that tzad. And that's what keeps on happening over here. The Gemara says, okay, if it's sitting on, the sheretz is on a mace, well, that's totally different levels of tumah. Okay, but let's say you assume that that's considered bad. What if it's on a nevela? Okay, what if you consider that bad? What if it's on another sheretz? I mean, each one is if, what if you consider that to be bad? What if you consider that to be tameh? So the Rambam says, yeah, so we consider all of them to be tameh. But a sheretz al gabe sheretz, he paskins that it does have a din of tumat safa. Gabe sheretz on mechatas, which is the last one, so the Gemara never got to do an imtim tzolomar on the sheretz al gabe chatas. So the Rambam writes, hareza safek imhu kumunach o eno kumunach, lefichach yirli shesveko tahar. So that one he had no indication with an Nimtzim Tzolomar, so he says, is that what I'm going to be makel on? But why? I mean, why would you make it to be makel? Meaning, if there's no klal, tell you to be machmir, but there's also no klal, tell you to be makel. So the Kesef Mishnah says, because Ram paskins the hakel, because the din of Tumat Safa is midrabanan, so he paskins the hakel. So the Birchas Rosh says, that's the goof of the Safik, whether this is Tumat Safa or not. I mean, don't tell me we're makel on the din of Tumat Safa, because Tumat Safa is midrabanan. The whole question is whether this is Tumat Safa. I don't know that this even gets into the category of Tumat Safa. So he says, yeah, no, the Rambam holds that the whole din of Safik Tumah Brosh HaSiyachit Tameh is only Midrabanan. Whoa, even though we learn it from Sota, and it sounds from the Sugis in Sota, and it's Din Daraisa, he says, the whole din of Safik Tumah Brosh HaSiyachit Tameh is Midrabanan. So that's why he's Mekel, that I have a Safik whether I apply the din of Safik Tumah Brosh HaSiyachit Tameh, or whether I'm allowed to apply the exception of Tumat Safa. But at worst, when you're dealing with a Tumah Midrabanan, so therefore the Rambam is Mekel. And that's how he deals with the teku, that in all the other ones he's machmir because of the imtim tzolomar rule, but in that he's mekel. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to the din of tumas hatom. So we said that if a Nazir discovers after his giluach that he had become tamei with tumas hatahom, then it's not sosa the nazirus, but prior to his giluach it is sosa the nazirus, so because he was becheskas tuma. So Amar Rav Hamnuna Nazir va'usa pesach, the two exceptions, the two people who are subject to the special kula of tumas hatahom are Nazir and someone who's born karm pesach shaholchu bekever hatahom, that became tamei with the tumas mace, and they had the azav of the efer paraduma and shlishi yushvi, and then they went to Bekever HaTom, they were exposed to Tumas HaTom Bishvi Shalahen on day 7 of their Tahara, and they were unaware of that Tumah until the Nazir went back and counted Nazir's Tahara and was Megaleach and did everything, and there were the Yosef Pesach brought his Karban Pesach Tahorim. They're considered Tahor. The Nazir is not Sosa, the Nazirus that he had previously counted, and the Yosef Pesach does not have to bring a Pesach Sheni. My time, to Lo Alima, Tumas HaTom, the Mister Tumas HaTom is not able to be Sosa, that which you've already done. They didn't know about that tumah until the Achar Meisa, until everything was already done. So Masav Rava, Rava challenges. Our Mishnah says that Yaradli Tarmi Tumas HaMeis, that a person went down into Ma'ara to be Tovel himself from Tumas HaMeis, and he finds out after he counts his Nazirus Tara and after the Giluach that at the time that he was there was a Gezayis Min HaMeis in the Karka Ma'ara. So he's Tamei, Shecheskas Tamei, Tamei, Shecheskas Tar Tar, because he was at that moment, he was Becheskas Tamei. Yes, we have a Kula called Tumas HaTom, which tells me that if you only discover way later after everything's already done that you had been exposed to Tumas HaTom, we could ignore it, but that's only if at the moment you were exposed to Tumas HaTom you were Becheskas Tahara. But if you were Becheskas Tuma when you were exposed to Tumas HaTom, we don't apply the din of Tumas HaTom. So that's a kashan Rav Amnuna, because the Nazir and also Pesach that became Tamei on Shvi Shalem were Becheskas Tuma. Shvi Shalem means that they were Tamei from Tumas Mason, was the seventh day of their Tahara process. So the Gemara answers Amalei Modin Lach Benazir Shemachusar Teglachas, that there's a chiluk between a Nazir that the Mishnah is talking about, where he was not yet Tovel for his Tuma, he was not yet Megaleach, so he is Becheskas Tuma. So therefore, Tumas HaTom is not going to help him, it's only going to hurt him, versus a Nazir that Rav Hamnuna is talking about, where he was ready Tovel in Tumaso, he was ready Megaleach Sa'arosav, so he already left the Cheskas Tuma and he's Becheskas Tara. So even though he's on Shvi Shalom, it's still called Becheskas Tara, and the Tumas HaTom is not going to be Metamehim. So Amrle Rava, Rava says Rav Amnuna, Afa Modinalach, but Osa Pesach, Lo Mechus V'lo Klum, that this chilik is MS, and since you only spoke about a case where he was already Tovel the Tumaso, and the Nazir was Megaleach, his hair already, where it's not, he's not Mechus or anything, so he's Becheskas Tara, I'm molded to you on that Tumas HaTom is not going to be Metamehim such a person, and therefore the Nazir is not Soser, Nazirus, and the Yosef Pesach will not have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Amalei Abayi says to Rava, even though after they toveled from their Tumah, and the Nazir is Mekaleach his hair, they don't have to do anything more to be Metar themselves, but for Mechusar Arav Shemesh, but they're not Tar yet. They still need to wait for Arav Shemesh. Their Tar is not complete until the sun sets that day, like any Tameh person that goes to the Mikvah. So since they had become Tameh, Betumas HaTom, prior to Arav Shemesh, how can you call that a Cheskas Tara? It's not a Cheskas Tara yet until there's Arav Shemesh. So Rav Hamnuna and Rava on the one hand say he did everything he needed to do, so he's Becheskas Tara. So if at that moment he's exposed to Tumas HaTom, and then he takes care of whatever he needs to take care of, then we could ignore the Tumas HaTom. But Abaye says, no, he's Becheskas Tuma until the sun sets. So Amalei Rava says back to Abaye, Shim Shim Mela Arva. He doesn't have to do anything. The sun setting is something that's going to happen. It happens every day, and it's going to happen in Memela. So even though it didn't happen yet, it's still considered enough to be a Cheskas Tara. And Abaye backed out on his position, and he was moda that the fact that the sun hadn't set yet does not make the person Becheskas Tuma. Now, where was Abaye Chozer? So the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa that talks about a Yoledes that after she gave birth became pregnant again and then had a miscarriage, and whether she's Pater with one Karban of a Yoledes or she's going to need two Karbanos, and through that discussion, which discussion, you have a very similar discussion at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim, so I guess another Daf Yom Kippur. So through that discussion, we're gonna see how Abaye was Chozer. Zetanya, we have a Braisa that tells us as follows. A woman gave birth to a baby girl, and then she becomes pregnant again, and she has a hapala, she has a miscarriage. So Yomalos, on the day that, if the hapala was on the day that she completed her tara from the first leda, so Tavi, she brings another karban. Tochmalos, but if it was was within the 80 days of Tara from the first Leda, lo tavi. She won't have to bring a separate carbon for the miscarriage. Yachalo tavi aleda shalifnei melos, aval tavi aleda shalachem melos. You might think that she doesn't have to bring an additional carbon on a Leda that happens within the melos of the first Leda, but she does if it happens after the melos of the first Leda, even though it's within the days of the second Leda, meaning if she gave birth to in the Keva, and then 81 days later she became pregnant, within 81 days she became pregnant and had another Hapala of an Akeva, and then within 81 days of that Hapala she became pregnant and had another Hapala, so the last Hapala was within the Melos of the previous Hapala, but not within the Melos of the first Hapala, so you would think she needs two Karbanos, one for the first Leda, and one for the last Hapala, which was not within 81 days of the first Leda. Tamalomer, Melos Yimetara, Biyom Melos Tavi, Toch Melos Lo Tavi. The Toch Melos of the previous Leda is good enough, she's not going to have to bring a separate carbon. Vam Rav Kana, and Rav Kana explaining the Bryce says the reason at the second pregnancy she's still considered to be Toch Melos of the original Leda, even though it's more than 81 days from the original Leda, Shainiachad Mechasra Carbon. At the time of the second Hapala, she didn't yet reach the time where she's chayiv to bring a carbon for the first Leda, because Yoledis is not able to bring a carbon until after Melos Yemei Taharasa. So this Yoledes, she was Mapil each time. She never was able to arrive at that time. So she's always considered to be Betoch Melos. So now the Gemara asks on Rav Kahana, Hasam Nami, in the Reisha of the Braisa also, where she was Mapil on Yom Melos of the first Leda, why does the Braisa say that it's a Dover Pashut, that if she's Mapil on day 81, that she's going to need to bring a second carbon? Mechasra Arav Shemesh. She went to the mikveh, but she still needs to wait for Arav Shemesh. So she's not yet ra'uy for a new carbon, because she's not yet out of the first accounting of days from the first Leda. So I'm Rabbi Shimsha Mimela Arava. Ooh, it's in that context that Rabbi says, Harav Shemesh, that happens every day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. That's not something you have to do. You're already past that point once you pass whatever counting you have to do, once all you're waiting for is Harav Shemesh. That's how we see that Rabbi ultimately was Moda to Rava and Rava Muna. Tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on Samach Talil Amud Beis. Have a great day, everyone.